pick up on our study tonight as we go forward about preparing for revival. Same passage of Scripture, same place we left off last time, James chapter 1 and verse number 18. And of course, our key verse being verse number 19. Last week we talked about being swift to hear. It will be slow to speak. We're going to be quick to hear, slow to speak. Not slow in speech, but you know, that pause, that meditation, that time to think about what you say before you say it. James chapter 1 and verse number 18. I believe we have that on the handout. James chapter 1 and verse 18. I'll read verses 18, 19, and 20. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll move forward. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight and our time together in our study. Lord, help us, Lord, to remember on a regular daily basis to pray for revival, but also recognize and realizing there may be some things in our life, collectively and individually, that we need to work on that we might see revival come our way. Father, bless now, have your will and way, and we'll be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for it all. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. While I was praying there, I had a thought. Yeah, I can talk and pray and think at the same time. And I was brought back to the aspect of a child and a boy growing up and not corporal punishment. I had plenty of that. corporate punishment. In other words, when I messed up, me and my siblings got the punishment. We all did. And one of the things, well, when I get home, boys, this needs to be done and this needs to be done, or else you will not be able to do this. And during those days, we lived out in the swampland. There was, like I mentioned before, 500-some acres of swampland they sold off. My dad bought a plot to work and build, have lived in a mobile home, built a house. A lot of other families did. I think we're the 12th family that moved in. And I loaded and toted so many barrels of sand out of that driveway. I thought it'd be done in a week. A year later, I was still hauling sand. It seemed like someone overnight kept putting it back that I took out. But I had to let my dad know in honesty and integrity that I did so many barrels of sand, taken out of that drive, carried back and filled in holes through the yard, and had to have some other tasks. If not, there would be no motorcycles, no go-karts, no mini bikes on the weekend. And if it wasn't done, my brothers as well, they got punishment. If they didn't do their jobs, we didn't get to ride. So there were times me and my brothers didn't like each other because two of us did our job and one didn't, and none of us got to ride the bikes. None of us got to ride the go-karts. It was, we all got it. And I said all that to say this. I would not want to be the one that hinders revival in my family or my church because I had sin in my life that I didn't want to take care of. I wouldn't want to be the one knowingly that there's some things in my life that are not right, that are rough, that I need to get under control. Look, it doesn't mean you got to quit and fix it right away. The first step is repentance, saying, Lord, help me with this. The next step is maybe getting some accountability and some help from a brother or sister of Christ, of accountability partner, to get it under the control that you don't hinder revival. And I tell you what, don't misunderstand me by any means. The devil will beat you up over that after the fact as much as he would before the fact and tell you not to worry about it because he just wants to give you a hard time. See, don't worry about it. Let's not be the one. I don't want to be the one. I don't want my family to be the one. I don't want anyone that would be the one that would hinder revival and God would doing what he'd want to do because we were not slow to speak. We were not swift to hear. See, God wants us to be swift to hear, but in talking, he wants us to take our time before we begin to speak. We are to be slow to speak. And here that word slow comes from the Greek word bradotes, which means to be dull, tardy, or slow. In other words, don't be in any rush by any kind. We are to be slow in beginning to speak, that thought process. That does not mean once we start speaking, we are to talk slowly like we're down south somewhere. No, we are to think through what we're saying as we say it or before we say it. If you suffer from motor mouth, God wants you to slow down the engine. Some people are foaming so fast at the mouth that you can't tell them or teach them anything because they have to be the one speaking. When we are swift to speak, We can say things that we wish we hadn't said. Our mouth can get us into more trouble than we want to be in. A loose tongue will get you into tight places. Say that again. A loose tongue will get you into tight places. Psalm 4 and verse number 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Folks, I don't know about you. He is going to be exalted, but I want him to be exalted right here. I want to be exalted in my family. I want to be exalted in Maricopa County. I want him to be exalted anywhere and everywhere I go. I don't want to be a hindrance. So, several things tonight. What should the speech of the believer be? How should we talk? How should we converse? What should the speech of the believer be? Number one, it should be empty of deception, but filled with truth. Empty of deception and filled with truth. Psalm 5 and verse number 6. Thou shalt destroy them that speaketh, that speak leasing. In other words, that lie. That's pretty harsh. All right, buddy, you lie again, you're out, you're dead. I think it means that literally, but thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Proverbs 8 and verse number 7. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. The psalmist says, no, I'm going to speak the truth. It's abomination for me to do otherwise or saying any wicked thing. Ephesians 4, 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Boy, I wonder sometimes, we've all, I think I've made this comment before, it's hard to put down the phone today. We've gotten so tied to them. Everybody wanted one when they first came out. But I don't know if I want one. They're too expensive. They had the old flip phones. Then after a while, I don't think I want. Those are just too expensive. Then it got affordable in somewhat where you pay one plan and it's unlimited everything. And I know about you. And now I wish I never owned one. I wish I could just make it a paperweight. Now it comes convenient as a pastor to be handy, to be available to my people. But many days in my office, it's a paperweight. I turn it on vibrate, put it aside when I'm studying, give it to Michelle if it's an important, and I figure if it's important enough, it'll call. In fact, if it's an emergency and I don't answer, if you call me back a second time within just a minute or a few seconds, my phone will ring anyway. I have it set up for my congregation that way. But there's times that I do need to turn it off. I do need to study. I do need to cancel. And I think there's many times we wish we could all put it down. I wonder how many of us and how many other people we know that we wish somebody could just put down the lying lips. I could put down the deceitfulness or the wickedness. Number two, how should we be? How should we speak? Without wickedness or evil intentions. Without wickedness or evil intentions. Psalm 28 and verse 3. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. See, the word mischief here means badness, evil, giving pain or misery to others. Dear friends, we don't want to be the ones that cause be wicked or have intentions that cause misery or pain to other people. As Christians, we're to be loving and kind. And there's a time that we have to stand our ground. There's time we have to say what is truth. And by the way, when the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, sometimes it's harsh and sometimes it's hard. But in those times, sometimes it is very needed. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace in hearers. Notice that last phrase. But that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, encouraging, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a world where everybody was more concerned about edifying one another than they were tearing them down? That would be wonderful to have in a church. It would be wonderful to have among Christians in general today is that aspect of edifying, encouraging. You know, my dad taught me a long time ago, have I always practiced it? No. I had my stages of life that weren't so great for the Lord. But often he would tell me, son, if you don't have anything good to say, just keep your mouth shut. Just don't say a word. Think it through. Make sure you have all the facts first. And if you're still not sure, come and talk to me. We'll figure it out. Number three, what kind of talk should we have? What kind of conversations should we have? What should the speech of the believer be? Should be of God's righteousness. Of God's righteousness. In other words, praising his name. Praising the Lord for his goodness. Man, if you're having a rough day, I don't know about you. I know what encourages me. It helps me turn some things around. There's a couple things. But one of them is just figuring out and reminding myself how good my God is. Just how good that he is. Psalm 35 and verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and thy praise all the day long. Psalm 145 and verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and forever. Folks, I don't know about you. If we're praising God and speaking of God's righteousness and his goodness, is there really a whole lot of time to be negative or to be anything else? God is good. And again, that aspect, if we can't say anything good, we're not wanting to be optimistic, why not look at it another direction? In fact, let me encourage it another way. You got something bad to say about somebody, don't go tell someone else. Tell the person. Have enough backbone to go tell them. Because all that causes is heartache, sows discord, and we'll get to that a little bit later. By the way, God, he goes beyond hating discord. Goes beyond that. We'll get to that in a few moments. Number four, we should speak with discernment and wisdom. Discernment and wisdom. Psalm 49 and verse 3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I don't know about you. I want more discernment. I want more wisdom. I've made my share of mistakes. I've made some bad choices. And more likely than not, I'll make more before the Lord comes again. But I desire to have good discernment and wisdom. But I want my mouth to speak of wisdom and the meditation of my heart to be of understanding. Number five, it decries God's word with confidence. It declares God's word with confidence. Folks, if we can't have confidence in the word of God, what is left that we can have confidence in? What is left? We need to have confidence. Psalm 119 and verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Psalm 119 and verse 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. It declares God's word with confidence. Folks, there's one thing I've learned through the years and I heard it beat it into my mind in Bible college, and we're talking to other preachers older than me when I was a young man. I had the privilege through the years in ministry of being around some older gentlemen and be able to sit and just listen and talk to them and then listen to answers. And there's one thing I hear abundantly. Declare God's word with confidence. Don't be afraid to say, thus saith the Lord. And not just as a pastor, we as Christians, we should be ready and prepared to say, thus saith the Lord. Why we don't agree, why we don't participate, why we don't partake is to thus saith the Lord. I remember recently, how recent I don't know, but if I remember it, it must be fairly recent. Saying, preacher, don't let some people bother you if they don't like your preaching. Don't let some people bother you if they don't like their teaching. Don't let people bother you if they just don't like you. He said, part of being a pastor, this older gentleman told me, part of being a pastor is you're going to offend people. And if you speak the truth and you speak the word of God, guess what? Some people are just not going to like it. I think we can read in our Bible and find out there were some folks that sure didn't like what the apostles preached, what the disciples preached, and even Jesus himself. They crucified him. Number six, it is delightful and gracious. That's the type of conversation. That's the kind of speech we should have. Delightful and gracious. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Is our speech seasoned with grace and truth? Is it seasoned with salt? The word grace here comes from another Greek word, charis, which means that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, goodwill or loving kindness. The aspect again, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Watch, I don't know about you, I like salt. It's a wonder my blood pressure is not through the roof because I salt everything. Michelle's telling me, honey, please taste that before you salt it. I said, well, I like salt. Yeah, you like a little chicken with your salt, don't you? I just like salt, and I just put it on there when I'm cooking, put it on there when I'm eating. And I sometimes need to be reminded that I need to savor my speech with a little salt, a little grace, a little more to make sure that we're doing what we should. It's delightful and gracious. Number seven, there's a time to be harsh. There's a time to preach. There's a time to confront. But even when you confront others, it can be done with grace, seasoned with salt. But we also should be calm, intense conversations. Calm, intense conversations. That can be hard. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Sometimes it's better to walk away. Sometimes it's better to answer in this way and then flee the area, not be part of the conversation. I don't know. And there's other times to defend and to speak your mind, but always refer back to Colossians 4 to make sure that it's seasoned with grace and truth. And by the way, grace sometimes can be hard. God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid a great price. And sometimes being gracious means being firm, but fair and confronting as needed. But as we prepare for revival, we think of all these things and how we handle our tongue, not just being swift to hear, but slow to speak. Number eight, it is not boastful or self, of self. It's not boastful or of self. You know, it's not all about me. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. That whole aspect of giving up our rights so the rights of someone else could go on. As I mentioned before, this week or last week, I don't always have to be right. But we can rest assured that the Word of God is always right. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. And by the way, it's one thing to be generous. It's one thing to be careful. There's one thing to demonstrate grace and going above to the young, new believer who's growing in the Lord. But sometimes it may need a little firmness, and that one that maybe should already be seasoned but needs to be reminded, it might need to be confronted, but we can still do it in this way, seasoned correctly from the Word of God. Number nine, or Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And then number nine, our speech and our behavior doesn't attempt to destroy others and to sow discord. It doesn't attempt to destroy others and sow dissension. We live in a world today, we have enough of our enemies of America itself. We have enough of the enemies of devil in his own that we don't need to worry about shooting ourselves in the foot or shooting other Christians around us. We need to be more concerned about the aspect of not destroying others and sowing dissension. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. I didn't say that. The Bible did. But it is foolish to have that kind of conversation, to have that type of behavior, to destroy others and to sow dissension, whether it be among the family, among the community, among your neighborhood, among our church, or whatever it may be. It's never right. It's never right to attempt to destroy others or to sow dissension. Now, this is where I made my little typo. If you want to turn your Bibles to get the last verse that I left out, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. Many of you probably already have it memorized, but Proverbs chapter 6, or if I got started and you read it, you'd be able to finish it. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse number 16. Again, doesn't attempt to destroy others or to sow dissension. The whole idea of preparing for revival, the whole idea of that being slow to speak and or quick to hear and slow to speak and living a life in general, we should not, as Christians, it should not be on my daily list to sow discord. It should not be on my daily list to be involved in dissension or destroy another believer. If we want to destroy something, let's work on destroying Satan. Let's work on destroying the grasp he has on the world and let other people see how true Christians treat one another and talk about one another and how they prepare for revival and how they prepare to see God do something great in their home, in their life, and in their community. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning verse number 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and then number seven, that even the Lord hates even more of his abomination, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Think about that for a moment. If it's something that God says he does not like, I'm going to do my best not to do it. Now, I hate to say this because it's not the case anymore. When I first got married and I met Michelle, I found out that she was afraid of and hated guns. Don't have anything to do with it. She wouldn't even walk by the ammo aisle at a store where weapons were. She wanted to have nothing to do with it. She's just now just a few lessons away of being another Annie Oakley. Come a long way. So what did I do? I got rid of my weapons. I gave them shotgun and to my brother or my dad, and I don't know where it's at now. They haven't offered to give it back, so I haven't asked for it, but I gave them away. But now over through the years now, I couldn't take them on the mission field anyway. But with things going on, we talked about it one day, and Michelle decided, you know, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe we should have a weapon. So we signed up for those classes, went through the concealed carry permits, and Michelle never picked up a weapon in her life other than a frying pan and a skillet and a rolling pin. She's pretty good with those spatulas and wooden spoons. And so we went to the range. We went through a week of lessons and going through the class how to handle, do everything. They had some practice pistols of 22s. And would you know what? She scored a 98 out of 100. I mean, she beat me at the range. Didn't you? Oh, I won't forget. Don't worry, sweetheart. But the point I'm trying to say is Michelle did not like, it wasn't necessarily an abomination, but she didn't like women. She was so fearful of them. And so she wanted to stay away. I honored and respected her wishes because I wanted to marry her in a bad way. So I decided, okay, I'll get rid of them. No more ammo, no more weapons, but can I keep my pocket knife? And she agreed, I got to keep my pocket knife. And then the courtship went on and we were able to get married. I did it because I loved her, wanted to honor her, and I wanted to respect her. Shouldn't we so much more want to respect and honor the Lord in knowing the things that he hates and doesn't like? To make sure that we refrain from them. And then when we do participate, say, Lord, forgive me. Those that we acted upon saying and doing the wrong things to say, you know, I was wrong, please forgive me. I know it's hard and it can be difficult. But the best way to stop discord, the best way to stop these things is when people do it, simply says, you know what, why don't we go get to that person and let's talk about what you just said. That will usually stop it, but not too often does it take place. Sometimes we'll say, you know, that's enough, don't want to hear it, and walk away. That's another solution. But the bottom line is, if we're going to follow up what the Lord says, and the Lord hates these things, then does it not make sense that we need to move them out of our life to the best that we can? Lord, help us, because I don't want to do anything that you don't like. I don't want to partake in that which you hate, Lord. I don't want to be involved in that which you call an abomination. Lord, I want to honor you. I want to respect others. I want to live for you. And I want you to rain down your spirit that we might see revival in our home, my life, our community. I don't want to partake in anything that would hinder or keep us from those things from happening in our life. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. And next time we'll look at slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And if we're going to be slow to speak, we're going to practice these eight things. And if I could have just spent the whole night, which wouldn't have taken a whole lot of time on number nine, I believe if we can work on number nine, a lot of those others will take care of themselves. Just saying, I'm purposing in my heart that I'm going to memorize this passage of Scripture, apply it to my life, and do the best that I can to not have any part of sowing any type of discord. See, the Christian life is not about moving up. We're going to get there when the Lord comes, when he takes us home, when the trumpet sounds. We're going to get there. But while on earth, we shouldn't have the attitude of moving up, getting ahead, me first, wanting to be top dog and all those other things. That should not be our goals as Christians. It should be the gentlemanly thing, gentlemen, when we open the car, when we see a young lady coming, when we open the doorway, when we see a young lady coming, or for our wife and we open the door, being gently to let them pass through. We should treat other people the same way, realizing that give them the right of way. Let them be first. Be friendly to them. Take the opportunity just to say, hey, I don't know them, but I'm going to minister to them. I don't know what their needs are, but hey, they look like they've had a rough day. I'm just going to do my best to be kind for them. We took the kids out the other day, and I saw a lady. I almost embarrassed myself to death. I saw a lady that was just making faces, having a rough time, having a hard time, and I didn't realize that she was playing a game with her granddaughter across the other side. I thought there was something wrong. I was going to go over and offer to help her to see what I could do to help. And then I see this little one coming by, and I laughed and said, excuse me, ma'am, I almost embarrassed myself. And she looked at me and says, I didn't realize you were playing with a child. I thought you had a problem. And she just laughed and wondered and said, no, it's just my grandbaby. You know, sometimes I wonder what the world thinks when they see us. When we say we're going to church, we say we're a Christian, and then they see us acting and talking and carrying on in another way. I think we're pushing them away from the Lord and not bringing them closer to the Lord. We're not perfect. We're forgiven, but we're not perfect. But we should strive in doing our best to say, Lord, by the grace of God, let me do my part that I may not hinder revival, that I might not hinder the free reign of the Spirit of God in the church services when I walk in the door. Lord, help me to leave everything in the car. Let me leave everything at the house if something is bothering me, and let me pick it back up when I get home, because I want to focus on my church family. I want to focus on the services. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. I want to praise you. I think we'd all be surprised if we can all do that in unity on a regular basis, what God can do, but most importantly, what God wants to do. Okay, I'll stop there. It's about 9 till. Let's take a time and take a season of prayer. As we did last week, I'm going to excuse myself. Anyone's welcome to join me. Stay where you're at. Find a corner in the room where you sit. But let's take a season of prayer and just pray for our church. Pray for revival. Pray for that one that the Lord brings to your heart in your community, somewhere where you shop, and just pray that God will do something. And I'll make my way back to the front here in a few minutes or so, and then I'll lift my voice and close this in prayer. So let's take some time and let's spend a season in prayer.